Hey, we're going to spend just a few seconds listening to me and then my whole idea. And I hope every one of you got one of our outlines tonight. I didn't have any fill in the blanks. All of that is information that you already know, but I just want us to review real life because I want us to end with a time of prayer up here around these altars tonight. What these kids have experienced this week, and not because I was there, but I'm telling you what, I've gone through gobs and gobs of camps, and I'm telling you the coolest thing about it is the speakers and all the activities and stuff like that, but man, it's the prayer times. That's the campfire you're talking about. That's where the fire gets started. By the way, dude, sell the tanning bed or whatever it is you got going there, okay? But it's fabulous what you and I experience when it comes to, you know, that territory. So I want to go over this real quick, okay? But first of all, just a little humor, okay? There were two guys talking, and one of them said, "Hey, you know, I notice you go to church. You're so religious. Well, go ahead, just share the Lord's Prayer with me." And he says, "As I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." He goes, "Dude, I can't believe that." And he had bet him $10 to do it. So he pulled out $10 and says, "I didn't think you could do it." A lot of people have some ideas about prayer that are totally out there in left field. So, you know, let's talk about what happens in the church. I stole a couple of quotes from E.M. Bounds, who was this great pastor of the first century, incredible preacher. He said this, "What the church needs today is not more machinery," and even back then he said, "not more technology, not new organizations or novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use, men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer." So that's who we are. We should never neglect, nor should we ever minimize the power of prayer. So that's where we're going to go tonight. Abraham Lincoln, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all that seems to insufficient for me in the day is what drove me to prayer." I think it's awesome. And when we go to prayer, too often we're asking for change when we should be asking for God to renew us. We ask Him to manipulate and change the circumstances. Well, what about us? And I think that's what's going to happen in a lot of ways tonight. So let me just set the scene real quick because that's really all I need to do. These kids, their testimonies, what we know, and just kind of, did you not imagine what was happening? Even though you may not know the physical setting, you could just picture those kids around the altar and the times that because of all of the world that had been, you know, put aside, where God was able to fill those gaps. But we understand that prayer is not a mood, it's not a feeling, it's not something that comes from inspiration only. It's a decision. These guys, it doesn't matter what the setting was, what the music was, what they were singing, what had happened during the day, it's still a decision. But guess what? If we don't pray, that's still a decision as well. We decide to, we decide not to. Most of the time we decide to and we commit to prayer, but our life decides for us that we're not going to if we're not careful. One preacher that used to be at Christian Cathedral, I believe it was, down on South Memorial Street, Richard Exley, he would say this a lot of times when he would speak. He would say, "Are we communicating?" And what he was talking about is, are we connecting? Are we making sense here? Are just words just coming out of our mouths and that type of thing? That's what we need to do, is make sure that we're connecting with God and not just telling Him things, not just popping things off of the list. I know it's not our desire, but sometimes that's exactly kind of the way it is until we go back to the campfire, until we have a camp experience, and then God begins to speak to us in ways that we never imagined. So let me just share a couple of things with you real night. First of all, we know that prayer is simply, it's communicating with God, like we were talking about just a second ago. It's not only just talking, it's taking time with Him, but ultimately, and this was touched on tonight as well, it's listening. He's got some things to say. He knows what our list is before we bring it to Him. And I'm not saying that we should, you know, forget the list. He's there to hear the list. He's there to embrace the list. But He wants to say some things to us too. You heard the things that these kids were talking about. A lot of the comments they were saying, this is where God was giving me direction. This is where God was talking to me. This is where God was filling in the gaps for me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me, you will find me, when you seek with me with all of your heart." When we go into prayer, that's a part of the aspect that our heart goes with us. James 4:8, "Come near to God and He will come near to you." This is not just scripture and cool little scriptures at that. These are promises from God telling us a little bit about what's on His side of this. So I got a list of things there, and there again, I didn't put in fill in the blank type thing, because I just want it to be more of a reference sheet for you. So let's go over that real quick. These are reasons to pray. It's a means of maintaining our personal relationship with God. I'm going to tell you what, anybody you're going to talk to, if you don't have a conversation, you're not going to have a relationship. And I realize that we have this wonderful world of these incredible tools, these things that keep us connected. This week we told you that my daughter's father-in-law passed away. Well, his daughter, her husband is in South Korea. He came home and I said, man, I bet it's great to see your kids. He said, it is great to see them physically. He said, but you know what? Every morning we FaceTime. I'm on the screen. We're talking and everything. So we have these things that connect us, but it's not the same as spending time with each other and really, really getting to do that and to improve the relationship. It equips us to stand against Satan's strategies. You know what? Prayer isn't just something we do. We need to start realizing it's a weapon. It is a weapon. The sword of the Spirit. I mean, it is a weapon. It's something that we use against Satan and what he is doing. It provides a time for us to be alone with God. It brings about change. These are things that we need to understand. What about the essentials of prayer? Adoration. Every now and then we forget that it's a time where we get to just love God and worship him. You know, I'm telling you, if he walked in here right now, we would just be blown away by who he is. Confession. It's a great time to bring our hearts to light, God, and understand there are some things that we need to bring before him and confess him. Thanksgiving. These are the elements sometimes we escape because we're too busy just trying to bring our needs and asking God to change our world instead of just thanking him for who he is. Supplication. Out of a clean heart and purely motivated, we make our request known to God. That's what supplication is. It's not about begging. It's about just understanding God's already willing. He's already made his part of the contract out. Now he's just ready to fulfill it. He can't wait to bless us. And he does that more often in prayer. Believe it or not, what God wants to do is change you a lot more than he wants to change the things that we pray for him about. Lord, I need a healing in my body. Lord, you know how the finances are. You know how that relationship is. You know how tense it is at work. Well, he wants to do more in you than he wants to do in these other circumstances. And in so, he usually ends up changing the other thing too. What about the elements of prayer? Faith, of course, according to Hebrews 11:1, we understand faith, that thing that you can't see, but you know what's there. It's the substance of things that we don't know, but we can stand on it. How about a clear conscience? One of the elements of prayer is if our conscience isn't clear, if there's things that are not there. You know, isn't it amazing the Bible says, bring your offering to the altar, but if you have a problem with another person, leave that offering there, go and reconcile yourself to that person, then come back. You know what that's called? It's called a clean conscience. So sometimes you can't pray because you're worried about a relationship, something you said. Just stop and go and take care of that. We should do it daily. That goes without saying. Be specific. You know, I've said a long time ago, and I said for a long, long time, especially when I was back in youth ministry, because teenagers a lot of times have to learn how to pray. We're always constantly learning more about prayer, but I said, listen, be specific. Don't be general. Don't say, God bless my day. You know, God already wants to bless your day. But talk about him specifically, you know. The person next to you that you have in math class, you know, just say, Lord, bless her. You know, if you know more about her, just begin to speak her name and talk about the things that are going on, the things she shared with you and stuff like that. You know, this is a broad statement, but I've said, you know what? We go to school, and I said to students all the time, I said, you go to school and say, Lord, bless my day. Well, if nobody breaks into the school, if nobody gets killed, if we don't have a murderer come onto the thing and we don't have some kind of shooting, God's kept his prayer. But what God wants to know is what is specific to you? Tell me exactly what you want me to do. When you go to a doctor and he prescribes surgery, and you say, what are you going to do? He goes, oh, we're going to open you up. Excited? Yes. I want to know exactly what he's going to do in there. And that's what God wants to do as well. Believe and doubt not. You know, I'm telling you, sometimes this is more a mental discipline than anything else, but our spirit is always wanting to believe God. It's the outside circumstances that usually defeat that. Persistent. Keep banging on that door. You're not going to hurt God by praying and praying and praying the same prayer, the same prayer, the same prayer. A lot of times that's where we get to the answer of that prayer. Unselfish. Listen, when was the last time all you did was pray for somebody else? Pretty tough, isn't it? Pretty tough. You know, it's what we need to do. Hindrances to prayer. Sin, of course. If you're in sin, it's going to be hard to understand that your prayers are going to be answered. Asking with the wrong motive, that you really want God to do something, manipulate your world. idols in our heart. You know, really some of the idols. You know, a lot of times, you know, the car you drive or things like that, or it might be the person you're dating, the person you're married, something like that. I mean, you put that a little bit before God, it's going to really mess up our prayer times. Being selfish, especially with our time. You know, I tell you, it's kind of cool. John was saying, hey, we got these kids, and I'm going, awesome. And he says, hey, I don't want to mess up, you know, your time or whatever. And I said, dude, in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, you know, if you're too worried about your time in the pulpit, you know, you're just going to squeeze God right out of all of these things. So you know what? We need to just understand to be unselfish with our time. An unforgiving spirit. Man, sometimes we got to remind ourselves that there's a relationship that is broken. And whether we were the cause or whether we're the recipient of somebody being, you know, mean or vindictive, you know, we need to make sure that we bring that to the Lord before we can really feel our prayers going to be really, really answered. Unbelief, you already talked about that. Poor priorities. In other words, meaning it's all about me, God do this, God do that, instead of all those other things. And I quoted a statement I've heard million times in our I've had Pastor Brummett say it so many times. He says, we do our best fighting on our knees. Nobody wants to be in a fight. I don't want to be in a fight. You know, the things that you guys are talking about, that tire wars or whatever. I mean, that's fun stuff, regardless of the black eyes and stuff like that. You volunteer for that because it's supposed to be recreational. That sounds like hospitalized is what it needs to be. It's insane, you know. And I know what he's talking about, the girls. I'll tell you what, if you've ever tried to break up a girl fight, I don't think so. I'm just going to let them kill one another, and then I'll drag the body away. But I'm not getting in the middle of any of that stuff. But we are in a, I'm sorry, I just destroyed everything I've said. Even though it's still the truth. The truth of the matter is, sometimes we understand that our greatest participation in a spiritual warfare is not when things get so bad that we got to rally the troops. We don't need another 911. We don't need another school shooting. We just need to understand that every time God gives us the privilege to pray, that it's time to go to war. It's time to go to war. So let me ask you one question. Have you ever spent too much time praying? The answer, of course, is no. God doesn't want you to just kill your job because you're too busy praying. It doesn't make sense. It's not consistent with His nature, is it? But when we pray, we need to just make sure that we have our time with the Lord. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I'm going to ask all of you, if you would, as many of you would, regardless of what it is you might be focusing on, that tonight we would just spend the last few minutes of our service tonight in this altar, just embracing the Lord. And you know, since we're on the subject of prayer, this is where I would encourage you, listen, use your prayer. Use your voice. You know, express yourself to the Lord. There's some of you, that prayer language that God gave you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a long time since you've really brought it out and utilized it. There's something on your heart. There's something God wants you to pray for. There's things that are probably an issue that you would pray for in a special setting outside of the list that you already have. But tonight, let's just do ourselves a favor and let's be a congregation of prayer before we leave tonight, okay? Hey, just stand right now. If you'll just come and meet me at the altar. Just places up here. Listen, this isn't a timed event. We don't have a clock going. But this, you know, being here to midnight is not going to prove anything unless God calls you to stay here till midnight. But you know what we're calling you to? Jeff, thank you for the illustration. But I'm calling you to the fire. This is the campfire opportunity, a time to get closer to God, close enough to get burnt, close enough to get singed, close enough to feel the heat, close enough to change our world. Amen? Thank you. Worship team, lead us. Praise your name, oh God, in the name of Jesus. The next few moments, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would just go all over this place, that you would just minister to us, that you would just take us, oh God, by the heart and by the hand. Lord, that you will give us a fabulous time of just loving you tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Come and minister to us. Come and bless us tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.